Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, as we turn to your word today, we pray that you would instruct us, you would guide us, you would direct us, that you would empower us. Father, indeed, that's what Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego hung on to, the instruction of your word, knowing your will for their lives. Help us also to know your desires for us, that our lives in response would not only give you thanks, they would bring you praise and glory, that we could serve you by serving others. We do pray that the words of my mouth, together with the meditation of our hearts, would be acceptable in your sight. O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, today we're in Galilee. It's an area about the same size as Leavenworth and Platte counties, or as Leavenworth and Jefferson, either east or west. It's about the same size. But the population was quite a bit different. Leavenworth and Jefferson counties have less than 100,000 people living in them. It's a little more than 150,000 if you go over and catch Platte County. Altogether, less than 1,000 square miles. Galilee had a population, though, of 3 million. And here's the way it comes out. Wherever you are, you'd have to make room for 29 more of you. 30 times the people. Galilee was not a place where you could get much peace and quiet. But that's exactly what Jesus wants in our reading for today. Listen again to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to start at verse 13. If you're following along in a pew Bible, it's page 692. When Jesus had heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Again, it wasn't easy to be alone in Galilee, but on the other side of the lake, things were usually quiet. So Jesus went there. Again, when Jesus heard what had happened, when he heard about the decapitation death of John the Baptist, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. By the time the boat reached the far shore, the villagers had heard about where he was, and they beat him there. Now, Jesus was human, but not only human. He was also divine. But he was also human, and he needed rest. Physical rest from the ministry in a hot, dry, windy land. Not like outside this morning, but more like where my mother-in-law lives in Arizona. Today, it'll just be 100 there, but the rest of the week, 102, 106, 108, 106. That's the next 4 days forecast. I prefer visiting her in winter. Jesus, though, needed physical rest, but he also needed spiritual rest. He had just heard the news of John's death and knew that each day was bringing him closer to his own. And so he went away to a solitary place to find rest for his body and strength for his soul. And when he got there, it was as if there were 30 more of him standing in his footprints. Not the full 3 million, but also not just 5,000, but 5,000 men and their families. Now, your Bible probably had some kind of heading over this section, something that talked about the feeding of the 5,000. That's wrong. 5,000 men and 5,000 wives. And even if just one or two kids were along for the trip, Jesus will shortly feed as many as 20,000 hungry people. While we're talking numbers, this incident is not the same as the feeding of the 4,000. They're two totally separate events. They take place in two different locations with two different sets of people. These 5,000 men were Jewish. The 4,000 men and their families were Gentile. There are four things for us to learn from this miraculous meal. And the first is this. The feeding of the 5,000 tells us of the compassion of Jesus. Now here is a man who had every right to rest. From all the work he'd been doing, miracle after miracle, parable after parable, you know, the Bible only tells us a part of what he was doing. And so it is that he's due a day off. Plus, he was also entitled to grief leave. Remember, his cousin John had just been killed, brutally, without mercy. John, a fellow man of God, the very one sent to prepare Jesus' own way. But when he got to that solitary place, it wasn't solitary at all. 5,000 sick, hurting, seeking, hungry men and their families were waiting for him to step ashore. He could have ordered the boat back out to sea. He could have done what the disciples wanted to do later. He could have sent the crowds away. Rather, he had compassion on them. He cared about them. And if we live up to our claim to care, we can never see others as a problem. We must have that same compassion, just as Jesus did. We can never express true concern or kindness. We can never cultivate awesome relationships for eternity if we look at others with only one eye. We have the other one on the clock. If our full focus is not on others, we don't really care about them. Here we see the compassion of Jesus, and it sets up an example for us to live by. Secondly, we are shown here that all gifts are from God. John tells us that Jesus has already been told that the only food available was a sack lunch of a young boy, two small fish, and five loaves of bread. He takes it and instructs the crowd to have a seat. He looks up toward heaven and he prays, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let this food to us be blessed." Well, he didn't actually pray those words. But I am told that the Moravian church who first put those words into print, the words we know as the Common Table Prayer, based those words on what took place here on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And the words he spoke probably would have been these: "Blessed are you, Jehovah our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth." That was the Jewish common table prayer. whatever words he used, the important thing is he blessed the food. He gave thanks for it. It came from God, and he thanked God for it. All good gifts are from God. A third thing this story tells us is that the place that disciples have in the work of the Lord. Jesus gave the fish and chips to the disciples, and they gave them to the people. On that day, Jesus worked through the hands of his disciples, and today, he still does. We can most certainly say that disciples were helpless without Jesus. In a way, we can say that Jesus is helpless without his disciples. Jesus wants something done. He gets someone to do it. Now, sure, he's omnipotent. He can do anything he wants to do. It's just that what Jesus wants to do is to work through us. He has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in the way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to bring them to his side. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message given in word and deed. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? What if our hands are busy with other work than his? What if our feet are walking where sin's allurement is? What if our tongue is speaking of things his lips would spurn? How can we hope to help him or welcome his return? That was Annie Johnston Flint. And it is our job description. Jesus relies on people through whom he can act, through whom he can speak, through whom his love can enter someone else's life. We are blessed in order that we might be a blessing. It might seem impossible, but here's the lesson. With what his disciples brought him, Jesus worked the miracle. The word for it is stewardship. God's generosity and our stewardship go hand in hand. Why do you suppose there were 12 baskets of leftovers? I think it was to teach 12 men who, before it all happened, were selfish and afraid. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Send the crowds away. 12 selfish, frightened men were left holding 12 baskets full of food. This was a miraculous feast, no doubt. But perhaps the greater miracle was a miracle of change. Changing a little bit of food into a bountiful feast. Changing 12 warriors into 12 stronger believers. We leave here this morning with the prayer that Jesus would also change each one of us. Indeed, go and be a blessing to others. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds focused upon Christ Jesus until life eternal. Amen. We continue our worship with the profession of our faith. We do so in the words of the Nicene Creed. You'll find them before you on the screen. Would you please stand?